Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Johnson. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
All right, guys, welcome into another AfterBuzz TV episode of The Kardashians. We are talking No Retreat today on the show. Thank you guys very much for joining us at home or wherever you are. I am Bobby DeMiro, as always, with Francesca and Sterling. Nick is out tonight. He will be back next week. And before we get going, happy Easter. Frankie, great bunny ears.
They grow overnight.
Just for the occasion.
The Easter bunny, I know her!
How was everybody's Easter before we jump into this? Anybody do anything fun, brunches?
Inside of us, I went to church, and then I ate a cheeseburger.
Wow.
And then I came here.
Well,
so
there we
now
go.
You know that.
Now you know that. I was a human pony for all my little cousins for about 5 hours. Continual piggyback rides. It was great. It was a good time.
The babysitting gig, huh?
No. All my family got together. It was really cool.
No, but I mean, they use you as a babysitter, effectively. The parents are like, okay, the auntie's going to play with these little cousins or whatever. Push them off to her. No.
All right.
Okay, cool.
Well, I did it, Bobby.
Thanks for helping us out. That's going to be the way it's going to go today, huh?
What did you do?
I slept till noon.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was great. All right, hey, let's jump into it right
Sounds
now.
It's like every other Sunday.
I have leftover candies. You should have let me know.
Yeah, well, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into it right now. Before we start, remember, hit subscribe on iTunes if you're listening to the podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, keep commenting, liking, doing all that stuff. Some of the comments we get, dear Lord.
Oh, I didn't even read last week's.
I love them. Some of them are really smart. We have some really smart commenters, and then we have some really awesome, like, trolls. So, like, keep trolling because it's funny to me.
Hey, you have social
permission.
Media.
Bring it on. Okay, let's jump into this. Let's talk about Rob first, which actually trolling is a good segue because he's been concerned, I guess, about public perception and being photographed and being seen in the media and comments people make online. And so he's disappeared, and we see in this episode today that he's kind of become a recluse and has locked himself in his room. He doesn't want to get help. What do we make of Rob? I guess what I'm interested with you guys, we've talked about him for a long time last season. We had a long discussion about him. Are you at the point where you want to see him get help, you want the best for him, blah, 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 or is it like, dude, enough already, you got to figure it out? Like, are you reaching the frustration level Kim has?
Yeah, so we talked a lot about him last season and everything he's going through and about how he needs to reach a point where he wants to get help on his own,
right.
Where he's got to want it for himself. We talked all about that, and it's been a long time since then. And this was even, you know, longer ago, and we know that he's still currently in this state and that not much is really changing at all. So, I mean, yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah.
First of all, that he just relies on the housekeeper to bring him a quesadilla every day and, like, just stays locked in his room and is not open at all to getting help. And it seems like this episode really made it open my eyes to they really do just give him whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to help him if they keep enabling him. And I know that Kim gets a lot of flack for, you know, taking that tough love approach on it, but it kind of makes sense now. Like, you can't just keep enabling him and giving him all this money. He's asking for large sums of money. No one knows what it's going to.
Maybe he's in business with Scott.
Yeah, but, like, no one knows what he's doing, but he's just constantly asking for money, and they're just giving him whatever he wants. And so I think, you know, if they've tried everything at this point, if it's not working, then they've got to do something else.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched, like, pretty much every single intervention that A&E has put out, and it comes down to it. You got to stop babying them at one point, and you just have to cut ties or not, you know, do things that you normally do, and it hurts you, but the goal is for the other person to get better. So you got to do that. I say they pull A&E into E.
And I think you got to find a happy medium. I mean, what Kim wanted to do, cut off bank accounts, kick him out of the house. Maybe you do cut off bank accounts because he doesn't need funds for XYZ if he's living in a roof, if he has access to a car. But, like, there's a happy medium where you probably don't put him totally out on his own because for the next months or years, it'll probably actually get worse if you go too far on him.
Yeah. But, well, I see that he's going to stay at Chris's house and Kendall's room or whatever, or Kylie's room.
And get food from the fridge.
And get food from the fridge. So, like, even though Chris was trying to take that tough love stance, at the end there, she still gave in.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But, I mean, it's hard not to. We're not parents, so we don't know what she's... But you got to imagine that it's her baby.
Yeah, and this episode was really hard to watch just as far as how rough it is on Chris. You could tell that it's really taking a toll on her. She cries herself to sleep every night. You can just see in her face that she's just, as she should be, very worried about her only son, you know, that's going through this terrible depression.
Yeah, and it's really difficult when you can see what you need to do to better someone, but they don't want to see it. And, you know, obviously he's been rejecting help this whole time. Like Chloe said, why do you keep... She kind of put it on her for a minute, but I can understand because she's always been his, like, backbone and supporter, and she's tired of it, too. She just wants... Like, I don't even... Like, what does he even look like now? Has anyone ever... Like, I feel like I never see him in any kind of news or anything like that.
Except he stays in his room.
Except when he, you know, the other week... bashed Kim on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, well, Chloe said he leaves. Where does he go? Yeah. Where does
he
go?
Well, there was a picture of him the other day driving a car, but you couldn't really see him because there was, you know, you can't really get a good look. But he was out. But it's just sad. It's crazy to me that he just locks himself in his room and doesn't come out. And Chloe just lets him do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I understand depression. And I can understand what would make someone want to just do that. But Kim was right. If he asks for help and something to do something, he's not all the way that deep. You know what I mean? He's not where he's going to go do something bad. He's still cognizant of, hey, I kind of still have this whole, you know, like they said, the Monday case. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
That was an unbelievable quote. Every single day he treats the next day like a Monday, which is like, I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to start over tomorrow. And a lot of people go through that in a lot of different ways.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, we all do. So
that would work out on Monday.
I think that's something we can all kind of relate to in a way, but his is on a different level.
Yeah.
But one thing I guess to wonder about, and this is just speculation, and maybe not to defend him, but to try to be a little empathetic to him is... It must be tough to see all of his older sisters and sisters his age, the girls, be very successful and do their thing, and he kind of didn't quite get there. And then now to see the next two, to see Kendall and Kylie, who are making names for themselves, especially Kendall, and he's probably like, I'm the black sheep, I'm the loser, that's not... I know they don't see him like that, but it'd almost be hard not to think that in light of everything that's been going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely thinks that, and he's talked about it before when he used to be on the show. Even he, you know, he posts a lot of stuff about Arthur George and the sock line he has, so I guess he's still doing that. I'm not really sure.
I think so.
It seems like they still post about it on Instagram a lot. But yeah, so he doesn't really have, like, that much going for him, and I thought that... It was important what Courtney said is when Robert Kardashian passed away, they kind of just cut Rob a lot of slack because he was 16, was going through this really hard time.
Sorry.
But, I mean, that was so many years ago now. You got to, like, you know, put your foot down at some point.
And didn't we last week or 2 weeks ago have a thing where it was that tough on Chloe when her dad passed away?
Yeah.
But she's obviously come through it and been stronger for it. And it doesn't mean she doesn't struggle, but she's not on Rob's level.
Yeah.
So.
And that just says a lot about Chloe as a person because she always is the supportive person for Rob, Lamar. You know, she's always with these, you know, having to support these people who aren't so stable.
Right.
And it's really hard on her. And that's why when she was like, why do you guys keep doing this to me? I think she was kind of encompassing the whole Lamar situation as well as Rob.
But as much as it's a hard on her and it's her thing that she supports these guys who are unstable, it's also that enabling idea.
Yeah.
She's the one who supports these guys that are unstable. It's a reason they come to her. It's a reason Rob isn't living with Kim.
Yeah, that's a hard part about being... quote unquote, a nice person.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, that's why they always say nice people finish last, because you want to do all you can for someone, even if it might not be the best thing. But I feel like she's putting her foot down now, too, I hope.
What could he possibly need cash for every week?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not like, I feel like Chris has enough of a handle on her kids, even adult children who make their own decisions. He's not like, you know, running drugs somewhere. That's obviously not what's going on. But like, just the thought of that just sounds so kind of sketchy. It sounds so irresponsible. It sounds...
Well, because he's not paying rent. Like, he's not, you know, he's using Chloe's housekeeper.
Yeah.
They hire people to go shopping for him.
Yeah, that's when Kim was saying all the stuff that they do, I was like, wow, he hasn't made.
Yeah, he doesn't need to do anything. Yeah. If everything is being done for you.
Yeah, what's the change? But was this the best way to change? Was it the best thing to bring in those six people, those professionals or whatever, and have him effectively lock himself in his room because of it? Should they have done it a different way, or is this just another?
I think they got to try everything at this point. It's been years now. So if nothing's working, then they've got to exhaust all their options before they just completely cut him off.
Yeah. Exactly. And Chloe, when she was on the phone with him, she said, you don't want to go to treatment centers. You don't want to do this. So we made it so you don't have to leave your house, and you still don't want to do it. And I would like to know what Rob really thinks would really help him.
This is actually really...
He doesn't seem like he knows.
But it's tough because we don't know. I mean, obviously, we never really know because you never know these people. But we don't know because we don't see his side. He's not on the show. We don't even hear him on the phone when he's talking to Chloe and Kim and whomever. So it's really tough to just get one side of the story and take Chris at face value and Kim at face value and Chloe. And I'd like to think that they were probably pretty fair with the representation because Chris and Kim and Chloe have different points of view and it kind of encompasses it all. But we still don't know his.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, we do need to know his side of it, obviously. But at the end of the day, like you said, I do think, you know, this is the Kardashian show. And I don't think they're going to want to negatively portray Rob.
Yeah.
Because I do think Chris especially has his best interests at heart and wouldn't put something out there that isn't an accurate description of what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. And we're obviously, nobody's diagnosing Rob at home anyway, right. Just watching the TV. But I would just be interested to see what he thinks about all this, instead of just hearing it through a conversation with Chloe and she's kind of
He sounds really kind of defensive and aggressive whenever he's on the phone with them, and he's, you know, just looking for someone else to feel bad for him is what it seems like.
I'm saying A&E.
It's a tough situation, too, and I feel like I hope that a lot of people who see this, I don't hope that they've known somebody who's gone through something similar, but I hope that they at least have enough empathy, and maybe they have known somebody who's gone through something similar. Because if you don't know somebody who's gone through something like this or is going through something like this, you look at Rob and you say, dude, you're rich, your family's famous, you've taken out cash every week, you don't have any problems, what's your deal? And it's hard to be empathetic to that. But if you look at the deeper level, it's like, no, this is just as serious as anything else. He's just having a different and difficult time dealing with it, you know?
Right.
It's a bad situation all around, and I don't know who said it, Chloe or whatever, but it's been 2 years.
Right.
That's a long time.
It's a really long time.
You know, I mean, you're going to lose a brother, not just death or whatever they're talking about worrying about, but, like, you're just losing a person. He doesn't come to Christmas. He doesn't come to the wedding. And at that point, especially with that family, the way that they get together, you've lost him. It's a non-entity at that point, which maybe it's what he wants in the short term, but I got to believe the rest of them are terrified about that.
Yeah.
So.
And you can see how serious it is when Chris is like, if we don't do something or he doesn't get a hold of this, he will die.
Yeah.
Because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's I don't know if there's any doubt. It's not only the health issue of gaining all that weight and doing all that stuff, but it's whatever other unhealthy decisions come with it and whatever else is going on. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. It was interesting to see Chris, I guess the last point on this one maybe, when she talked to Lee Weinraub, or however you say her name, and Chris saying, I can deal with anything in business. If it has to do with my business life, I can figure it out. If it's my personal life and it's emotions, I can't figure out because I can't control it. Which was a really self-aware thing for her to say.
Yeah.
She loves to be in control and manage and stuff. And when she can't control another human, like Rob or whatever, this really makes her struggle. And it's kind of sad to see it.
And not only that, but especially because she's his mother.
Right.
So you never want to see a child go through something like that. But especially when you don't know how to help them, that's got to be one of the most frustrating things.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like a failure? Like, she shouldn't.
Sure.
But there's got to be some of that. There has to be some of that.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Interesting stuff on Rob. I guess we'll see what happens. It worries me not only because of what we heard, but because of that Instagram post a couple weeks ago, because it was so aggressive.
Very aggressive.
You know, it wasn't just...
He seems really angry.
Yeah. It wasn't just everyone. Like, woe is me, I have problems, that'd be one thing, but it was outwardly aggressive to Kim in public.
Well, I mean, we see that Kim's always the tough, loved one, so I'm sure she is even so behind the cameras. So that'd be my only explanation for that. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot of anger. But most of the time when you're kind of in a dark spot, you want to blame everybody else until you can accept that it's your choice.
Yeah.
And hopefully he doesn't burn too many bridges, you know. Lord knows with friends and whatever, but hopefully he doesn't do it with family. I'm sure he won't with Chris, but who knows with Kim or Chloe.
That's the good part about a good family, I guess, is you're always going to have fights. You're always going to have arguments. You might not talk to someone for a year or two, but... I guess it depends on how much you value family, but family is always, usually always going to be there for you.
Yeah, but you can see Chloe kind of reaching the end of her rope in this episode because she just gives, gives, and gives. And he's, first of all, not even appreciative, but there's only so much, you know, one person can do for someone else without, you know, before she snaps. And it just seems like she was really running low on patience.
Well, she snapped. She definitely flipped the switch when she went tough love and was, like, making fun of him. And I can't remember what exactly she says, but something about, you know, why don't you call your mommy? You're an adult child. Call your mommy. It's even kind of, like, making fun of him, which is probably not the right thing to do. But, like, she definitely flipped her switch. And I was watching that and saying, this is 180 degrees from the way we've ever seen her.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Ooh. And Chris was obviously rightfully so, probably like, don't frustrate him, don't stress him out, don't make it worse. But to a certain extent, I think Chloe's right to be like, dude, if your wake-up call can't come with help, if it can't come with love, if it can't come with whatever, maybe it needs to come with a proverbial smack in the face.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we'll see. But I don't know. I'm not too, Frankie, what you said, you can deny and blame everybody until you finally realize it yourself. I'm not too optimistic that he would ever realize anything until he goes inside. And we'll obviously never know that.
Yeah. So. Well, I think part of the saddest part of this whole thing is that even now to this day, we know that he's still in hiding.
Yeah.
And this taped, you know, however many months ago. So not many strides are being made in present day. And so it's
that we know about.
It's that we know about. So it's a little concerning about, will this ever be a thing that he actually works on?
And I found one very minor thing to be interesting when I think there was a flashback scene with Courtney trying to get into his room or like peeking into his room.
Oh, and Bruce too.
Yeah, and Bruce too. And she's like, hey, you know, your nephews want to talk on, Mason wants to talk on FaceTime or whatever. And you hear Rob saying something like, I don't want to see myself or I don't want to look at my face. And you're like, oh, God. Like to get to that level of the mindset to not want to talk to somebody else because your face is in the FaceTime
window.
And
it's a family member.
Yeah. And as a kid, it's a little kid. It's just, oh, man. And it's not like.
Kids love you no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah,
they love piggyback rides.
It's not even going to be on Mason's mind, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's just like.
And it's sad because these kids are growing up and they're missing a huge part of that, spending time with their uncle who, you know, should be there. And other things like the retreat, which we'll talk about in and later, but he usually would be there and he's not there. Yeah. So he's missing out on all these things. And it's just really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we all have those days where, like, you don't like the way you look, you don't feel good about yourself, whatever's going on. But, like, take that day that you have every now and again and multiply it by, like, a million for something like that, for somebody to say something like that. And it's just, like, you can't help but feel for the guy, you know, tough love or not. You hear that and you're like, oh, my God. You know, you can't. There's something much deeper going on. All right, let's transition. Let's have a little more fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about that Dash retreat with the Dash dolls. Hot girls.
That one girl, Durani or whatever her name is, her eyes when she's wearing those contacts, did you guys?
No, those are her eyes.
Those are her eyes. Mm-hmm. They were, like, kind of scary.
Yeah, she has really, like, I think her eyes are a little big, too, so they're very.
Are you sure those weren't contacts?
I'm like 98% positively sure.
I wasn't looking at their eyes. I was listening to the story.
Yeah, right.
Is what
you
I
were
was
looking
doing.
At Melody shake her bum.
How do you know all their names? I got like Stephanie was the one I got, and Durani because she was like the one messing with
Seems
Stephanie.
Like, Johnny's like the head Dash girl.
She's the mean girl.
Quick prediction. I predict they're gonna do a Dash dolls. Spinoff. That was like a perfect.
Who's saying that? Someone said that earlier. I don't think that.
They are.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No, they are.
You know that for a fact.
Yeah.
So it's not a prediction. You're breaking.
Yeah. Okay. I just couldn't wait till the end. but so that was a perfect segue for that. I think that's why they did it. But I thought it was funny that they use money as rewards for this. Like, this is a retreat you want to build and blah, blah, blah. It shouldn't be about
$500
money.
$500 each, like, for winning that thing. I was like,
to shop at Dash?
$500 to eat a donut.
To push some clothes up a hill?
Yeah.
I'll take mine in cash, please. So those girls, so we've got Stephanie and Durani. Are we going to have to start breaking down these? Like, are they going to develop these characters on this show, do you think?
Well, I feel like this was probably just an intro for
just the teaser
show.
For that.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't have anything against them. And again, I didn't mind looking at them. I know that sounds kind of sleazy. Sorry, I'm just being honest.
Bob's a sleaze.
But I'm a boy. But... I don't want to, like, this is not a storyline I want to dive into anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Also, like, I just don't think it really makes sense that, like, if there's all this drama going on, they're, like, going there and they're just selling clothes. Like, I don't think it would really get in the way that much. You know what I mean?
Well, you're a drama-free girl, Sterling.
Well, it's like they made high school, MTV made high school into reality. So they're making retail it's reality.
Haven't there been shows like that where they follow around? I mean, I know Jersey Shore, they worked at a t-shirt shop, but haven't there been shows where they were in retail?
They have the is the show called Sir?
Are you talking about the Beverly
restaurant.
Hills
the
lady
Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, that would be that's exactly what I'm thinking of. So they've got shows like
this. Hey, I worked in restaurants forever. Why didn't they pick any of my restaurants?
Because you would have been Durrani.
My eyes aren't that light.
They could have given you contact.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. okay, so Stephanie is underage. Under 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, and can't drink. And the whole thing just felt very planned to me. And everything is in this show. But the whole thing felt very planned when they're talking about never have I ever, and they'll have to do with drinking and take a drink. And then she walks away.
I loved that shot when Stephanie's just sitting in the corner, like, behind the curtain. I was like,
she's charging her phone.
Yeah, it looked like she was charging her phone. It did literally.
They were like, she's kind of a loner. And then they, like, cut to a shot of her, like,
rocking in the corner.
It's like the cheapest kind of, like, relationship or friendship lessons, you know? Like, if you look at it as a morality thing or, like, a way to teach lessons to children or young people who might be watching, it's the cheapest kind of doing that. Like, oh, she's a loner. Well, you should talk to her and bring her out of her shell. Next scene. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey,
really love your curls.
Yeah.
Really?
Want to take a little piece of my pizza?
Pizza?
Everything's good. It's like, okay, that's a start.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a deeper issue, but whatever.
The Never Have I Ever game was funny because when they said, like, the threesome thing, this is probably inappropriate, but I was just like, what if this is, like, their moment on TV and, like, their parents are probably watching and then they're like, you've had a threesome? Yeah. Like, I feel like.
How old are they? 22, 23, something like that, probably.
Yeah. I like, though, when the twins both took a sip at the same time in unison, very twinny.
Yeah.
But, I can kind of understand feeling, even with your own friends at some moments in time, just feeling like I feel really odd and out of place. But we did see that clip that they showed. It looked like from a cell phone camera or something at night.
Fighting.
A fight. Yeah. So obviously there is some sort of tension with Stephanie. I honestly think Stephanie was really, really pretty. So they're all really pretty girls. It could be kind of just a catty, like, oh, no, another pretty girl.
Yeah, I also feel like they're probably just setting it up. Also, like, I just still am like, okay, if they don't like each other, they just work together. You know what I mean?
Retail.
Like, they can have normal lives outside of that. Like,
and that was kind of Chloe's point.
Yeah.
Listen, those quiet girls, man, they're the ones to keep an eye on. It's all going on up here. Okay, the ones who talk more, there's less going on.
Thanks
up here.
For that lesson,
that's boys,
Bobby.
Too. But the more you talk, the less is going on in your brain, right? That's why I talk so much. Those quiet people.
It makes nothing going on.
Those quiet
nothing
people.
Nothing going on up there.
I'm Team Stephanie. If you're watching this, Stephanie, we're on your side. At least
Stephanie
I am.
Stephanie seemed nice to me. It was the other people that seemed mean.
Yeah,
Stephanie looks like actually a friend of mine, so it was really, really weird. I was like, wait, when did she? Oh, it's not her.
Interesting. All right. Anything else on Dash? I mean, Bruce goes there. They do an obstacle course, blah, blah, blah. It happened.
Oh,
right,
Bruce.
I totally would have been Durrani, though, running up the hill like, oh, I don't work out.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay.
I mean, do you think things like that even build, like, they call them team building exercises, and you're supposed to trust each other, like, I know how it's supposed to carry over into the store, but come on.
You gotta have, like, sit down and kumbayas, and everyone gotta be crying.
Yeah. You just gotta have it out.
Otherwise, you're just going to be like, okay, we're doing this activity because we're going to get money at the end.
And we're on TV.
We're getting filmed.
We're getting a credit. We're going to get paid probably a couple $100 to even be here.
Yeah, so. Where was that? That was really nice.
It looked like a winery or something, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Malibu. I don't know.
In
something like
boo.
That. Yeah. Well, if Bruce was there, it had to be in the boo because Bruce stays in the boo.
He doesn't leave the boo.
Does not leave the boo.
And then I did love there how Bruce had his, like,
Megaphone, and Chloe's like, okay, we're gonna hear you.
That was right up Bruce's alley, though.
That's my kind of humor. Me and Bruce, man, we would get along. We'd be thick as thieves, I'm telling you. And golf, come on. I don't do, like, remote-controlled helicopters, but he could teach me.
You should just show up at his house or something.
Dude, he would love to hang out.
We could be best friends.
Just come out of the water, walk out of the water. Slow-mo. Baywatch.
Like, you mean swim out from Pacific Palisades, go up the coast, yeah. and, like, yep. swim in?
You can bring him a money sign garden. Yeah. I still can't get over that.
Interesting. All right. Enough about those Dash Girls. I really don't care. I did love when they were eating the donuts. One of the girls was like, I can't eat that. I can't have gluten.
It's gluten. I was like, oh, my God. You should kill shoot me.
This is your television moment, girl. Yeah, this is yours.
Lick it.
You'd rather have the threesome moment than the I can't eat this. It's gluten moment.
Meanwhile, that donut would have already been gone.
You would have used your hands. You would have been like, forget this. I'll get disqualified. That donut's fine.
Forget the money donut.
It's weird, though. She didn't even help the girl eat the donut.
She just like eat
the whole thing by herself.
I know it's edited, but like Chloe said like four times, you can't use your hands. And then the first girl who gets there just immediately
rips it down.
It was like, okay, not much going on.
Never mind. Okay, let's
go to Kim. Okay, let's talk about Kim and this pregnancy. I don't know anything about, like, surrogates and stuff like that. But obviously you can respect her decision to be like, I want it to be in my control. I want it to be my kid. It still would anyways, but it is different. So, yeah, this is a legit issue
for her. It is a legit issue, but I think she's, like, jumping, like, a million steps to be like, oh, that's the only option. They haven't even done the surgery yet. Like, there's still a very good chance she could get pregnant and carry her own children. But so they don't really know, but the whole time she's talking about having to do a surrogate and the whole thing, and it's just, okay, calm down for 1 second, and let's see how the surgery goes, and then we can figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand I do not have children, but that whole 9-10 months in your stomach is, in your uterus is definitely a bonding, so... Yeah, have a surrogate. It's still going to be your child, but I can understand that. But again, just like Sterling said, you got to have the surgery first, see how it goes, see what happens. And I've known, not necessarily in this same exact medical condition, but I've known other people that were told they were never going to be able to have children, and they've had children. So,
and the doctor seems pretty optimistic. He's just like, you can have kids. Let's just see how this goes. And I think she's just a little worried. Needless to say.
Yeah, a little jump into conclusions, and who knows what her and Kanye have planned or whatever for a family. But knowing the Kardashian family, she's going to want more than two children.
Yeah.
They have big families.
And it sounds like she wants them close together in age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, right now, how old is North today?
She's like two, right?
Yeah, that's not
or
far
one,
at all.
Two?
Yeah,
two?
I don't know.
Yeah, she couldn't be older than two. So we're not talking about like a huge age gap already. This isn't like Kendall versus Kim or something.
Right.
So I guess I didn't really understand that part of it, but whatever. And maybe her stress with that, I don't know if these things were truly filmed in parallel. I guess they were because of Chris's phone call with Rob. But maybe her stress from that also affects the way she dealt with Rob in this episode.
I mean, definitely stress is crazy. It makes your body do really crazy things. And I think I know a lot of people, or I don't know a lot of people, but I know people who want to have kids.
People.
I know people. And they're like, just like Kim saying, checking when they're ovulating, checking when they're this. And they're so worried that they're not going to have kids. I always wonder if that is actually
affecting
them negatively, them getting pregnant. So who knows? I don't know. But we guess we'll see next episode that the surgery went well.
I mean, I would assume. We didn't hear that, like, she was rushed
anything,
to critical
Courtney
care.
Will carry the baby. And
I like how it was Scott who offered Courtney up, right?
Well, Scott offered up the kid.
Rain. And then Chris basically offered up Courtney's body. So
you can have the kid, and Courtney, if you can't have the Courtney. Kid, Courtney will have the next kid for you. But that's interesting. I mean, why not? I don't know how Kanye would feel about all that. But
he wouldn't. Yeah.
But Kim needs to slow down. That's part of this, is she works so much, and Kanye's obviously on the road all the time. It's like, if you're trying to get pregnant, you probably want to, like, focus on that a little bit more, focus on the nutrition, the sleep, all this sort of stuff you have to do around that to optimize that, and maybe not do as many photo shoots and, you know, appearances.
You're so busy.
And,
right.
Yeah. I mean, you're not... I know your brand's important and blah, 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 and you're not going to stop your career, but you got to slow it down a little bit because she dealt with that last time.
Right.
So you're going to need to see if you can do that again because you can't keep up what you've been doing. Look at how Courtney does it.
And she just...
She like shuts it down.
She sneezes and gets pregnant.
But she's also, but that's my point. She's not as active as Kim is business-wise, you know what I'm saying? Or at least not as traveling as much and that sort of stuff.
Well, the Kardashians wouldn't be the Kardashians unless Kim does what she does. So.
That's true. But when it's time for Kim to have a kid.
I just love, though, the opening scene. She's, like, freaking out about Courtney's one little stretch mark.
Yeah, she was.
It was like the end
my
of the
God,
world.
I would die. She was like, "I feel so bad for you."
That's like the worst thing to say to somebody,
yeah. Sister.
Especially your sister, but I guess you can get away with that when it's your sister. Okay, hey, good talk about Kim. I feel like we don't have very much to say about pregnancy because we're all kind of like,
we don't really know.
Not there right now.
I have a dog. Yeah.
Not there right now.
Not there yet.
You're wearing Easter bunny ears. You are
definitely not there
you're
yet.
You're a year or two away from a child. Okay. Let's get to news and gossip.
Anyway.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I feel like half the show could very easily be news anyways because we talk about it every week. Like, you know what happens.
Yeah.
So far in advance, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I have a little piece of news for you guys.
Oh.
Chloe and French Montana were spotted showing PDA, according to People magazine.
Define
during a trip,
PDA.
Like hand-holding, touching, stuff like that. During a trip to Miami, they were there for the Ultra Music Festival. That sounds like a thing Sterling would love.
Not the biggest, like, it's like electronic house music.
Oh, okay.
Like,
fist pumping.
Okay, like EDM sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's EDM.
Oh, gotcha.
Which, I mean, would be fun, but.
I'm sure, yeah, it should be fun, but.
Yeah, people, like, wear cute clothes and I saw pictures.
Great. they were photographed on last Saturday walking hand in hand on a waterside dock. Said Montana was wearing a t-shirt and swim trunks. Later placed his hand affectionately on Chloe
on
while they
where?
Sat. On her leg. I saw the picture. It was like on her leg.
Affectionately on her.
I know. Also says they are both 30. I didn't realize French Montana was 30.
Really?
How old do you think he was? Like 50?
I don't know. I was vacillating between like
50-year-old vibe
and like 17 because he's not very smart. So I really wasn't sure which one he was. They also captioned an Instagram photo. The Ciroc made us do it. I guess they got drunk with
P. Diddy.
Malika. They celebrated Malika's birthday a couple weeks ago. So the biggest question.
P. Diddy was with them too. Right?
I think it was that thing. So the biggest question.
Puff Daddy.
We don't care about Malika. No offense, but we really don't. The biggest question is. French Montana and Chloe. Are they back together? Are they just hanging out? Do we even care? I don't want to see French on the show.
I just don't really know if I care that much, to be honest.
He is the least compelling.
Well, he really is. To say the least. And I don't know. I think, you know, they've always been friends and they've continued to be friends. And he was pretty close with Rob. So I don't know if he's like a good person. It seems like he might be a good thing to have if Rob actually connected with him.
So is Lamar. That's linked to Rob's thing, too, is the Lamar departure, for sure.
Yeah.
Because they were best buds. I don't. French Montana, I have no interest in seeing on another.
It's kind of fun when he's on the show. Let's be real. Reading the captions of what he says, it's great.
I mean, I'm not losing sleep over whether or not Chloe and French are together. But, you know.
But look,
if they are. If they're not, they're not. And she deserves someone really great. I love her.
Great, guys. I worked for 3 hours on that piece of news this week.
Sorry, Bobs.
You did?
You might got to reprioritize your day.
All right, who else has news?
Sorry, Bobs.
Yes.
Oh, we've got a picture.
Yeah.
We've got picture. I think this was yesterday. I think it's a beautiful photo. Clearly, definitely with lights, special studio lighting, probably some After Effects in Photoshop. And she just got, like, reamed with people accusing her of being, portraying blackface. You know, you always do your lips big. You're always trying to be dark and tan. Why do you always try to be black? And, I mean, it went on so crazy that the previous picture, she recaptioned.
And said, people calm down.
Yeah, people calm down. And, you know, for me, the first thing I thought was, wow, actually, this, the photographer and the creative director or whatever, this is their idea. And I would be hurt. I mean, I don't care about what you guys think. If I like this piece, I like this piece. But I would be hurt that someone would take art and just make it a huge issue.
I really like it.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, wow, like, that's an actually, like, nice picture.
It doesn't look blackface.
I feel like people are just so sensitive, and, you know, you can't please everyone, and...
It doesn't look blackface, but it doesn't look blackface all to me. It looks like almost like an alien kind of androgynous.
Like, that's like metallic.
Yeah.
It was definitely a concept, you know? And again, like this particular one that shows more of her neck and her hands, she has really long fingers and long nails. But it looks lighter than the other one. So that's why I'm saying it's definitely lighting.
Long fingers. Mm-hmm. That's weird. I didn't look at that earlier.
That was the first thing I noticed. I was like, but no, I think it's beautiful, and I think it's just the lighting, and, you know, clearly she does have colored hair all the time, but that looked like, you know, but it was a huge, all down my Twitter timeline, all on my Instagram timeline, and people are still commenting on it right now, arguing back and forth right now. Right before we started filming, I was looking, and that is just, you know, 1 second ago, just people still just arguing.
I must be following the wrong people on Twitter.
Drama.
On Thursday, Courtney posted the first ever picture of Rain after the sick. So that was a thing. So we've officially seen the newest member of the Kardashian clan. Very cute little boy.
That's an awesome name.
Rain Astin Distick.
Yeah,
that's
Distick. It's a tongue twister, apparently.
Oh wow, I haven't said it out loud yet. Rain Astin Distick.
There you go.
I feel like Astin Distick sounds weird when you say it out loud.
It's a tongue twister.
That's a great name, though.
Yeah.
I know a lot of like celebrities name their babies like Apple or whatever. Gwyneth Paltrow, that was her, right?
Yeah.
Whatever weird stuff. Rain's a pretty cool name.
I like Rain.
Yeah.
I feel like I would like Rain spelled that way for a girl.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it works for a guy too.
Some names are unisex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to say ambidextrous.
Oh, my Lord.
Are you ambidextrous?
I had lots of sugar today. Let me just tell you that.
The Easter Bunny came early for you.
She is the Easter Bunny.
That's true.
There,
that's what
I'm here.
All right. Any other news? Or should we go to
predictions?
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Sterling, you mad your phone's dead?
My phone's dead. I can't look at Kardashian Instagram.
No, you can't. You can't Snapchat is what you can't do.
Yeah, it's very sad.
All right, let's make some predictions. What do you guys think?
Well, I honestly, we can't even predict anything with Rob because we do know, like we said, that he's currently in hiding. We don't know what his situation is, if he's getting better, if he's not getting better. And obviously, I want to, you know, just go ahead and predict that he will get help that he needs.
Do you really believe that, though? Like, I mean, we hope
that. It's just so hard to say because he, you know, hasn't said anything. He hasn't shown any signs of improvement. So, I mean, it's really hard to say.
My biggest concern with that is if he is so sensitive to what blogs and media and whatever say, and it appears that he is since he's kind of gone into hiding because of comments and stuff like that, the internet's a terrible place, you know, and if you don't have the mindset for it, or if you don't want to deal with it, or if you're not capable of dealing with it, it's not going to get any better, you know, so that's always going to affect
people are cruel online. Yeah. They really are. And like, you know, whether it's commenting, and a lot of times people comment, like whether it's on YouTube or on Instagram or whatever it is, and even though there's tons and tons of comments, people read them, and sometimes you think, oh, Rob Kardashian's not going to see this comment. But when they build up and they build up and build up, like on that picture of Scott and Chloe when they were reading the Instagram comments, they were like, wow, people are like attacking me right now. They read that stuff. They like know the feedback they're getting on it.
100%.
So when that's everywhere you turn, it's kind of hard to not just want to completely shut yourself off.
Yeah.
And get really defensive, and that's why he's defensive to his family too. Because you're built to be defensive.
Just
at
like
all
constant
times.
Criticism all the time, mm-hmm. whether you're online with your personal relationships. So I mean, I get that part of it.
And there's an easy way to do it, like the way we do it. The way like I love online when trolls comment, when people who don't have good comments first, but when stupid people comment. It makes me laugh. Like, I want that. But you have to have a certain mindset. I talk to you guys about that all the time.
Yeah.
I want people to say dumb stuff about me. Like, I'll do it. But you have to have a certain mindset to do that. Like, you have to play the game and be sarcastic and want to you know, have fun with that.
Yeah.
And if you don't, or if something's already wrong, it's just going to exacerbate the problem.
Yeah. Well, and it's one thing to already constantly be in the spotlight like he is and like their whole family is. And then, you know, like, Kim will, people will say things about her when she, like, gains a couple of pounds or loses a couple of pounds. Now she's too skinny, now she's too fat or whatever. But he gained over 100 pounds in a really short amount of time to do that. And so I just feel like that is just above and beyond, you know, oh, she gained 2 pounds or, like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's really serious.
I mean, even if you do have, a thick skin and, like you, Bobby, one day someone's going to say something and it's just going to rub you the wrong way. It's going to get the best of everyone at one point.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, like, you can say, yeah, it doesn't bother me when people, like, are trashing me online or whatever it is. But it builds up and, like, no one is, like, immune to feeling, to be, you know, like, no one, like, doesn't not feel that. You know what I mean? Like, is it, like, constant criticism, though, about something in particular, like, will break you down eventually?
I guess I kind of disagree about that. Because I get it. We all get a lot of it. Not anywhere close to what he does. So
yeah,
maybe it is different on the millions of messages. But, like, we all get a lot of it, and we have for years. And I'm like, okay, whatever. This is either let's make a joke out of it, or let's make fun of it, or let's make light of it, or let's invite it and then, like, tease these people back kind of thing.
Yeah. But I feel like there's got to be a part of everyone that's, like, it affects a little bit. Whether or not, like, and it's negative or positive, like, it just can't be. I just don't think it's, like, just nothing happens.
I'm sure even, maybe even for a minute, sometime, Kanye might just be like, man, what the heck? Just for a minute, because he's Kanye.
Not him.
But I'm just saying, maybe even Kanye might
go on that stage.
But my thing is, all the people that are saying all these things, like, where are you with yourself?
Well, it's just a lot of anonymous stuff. I mean, you know, it's not, you know, public figures aren't, you know, saying these stuff. We're not going on there and trashing him because we have a public reputation, too. Like, it's not us. It's people who have, you know, nameless, faceless accounts. And that point, that's the other point, is when there's a lot of people who are trashing you who don't have a name up or have an alias up or have a weird picture up. It's like, dude, this person's point of view has no value.
No relevance.
You know, none at all. If it were, I don't know, you know, in our realm, if it were a casting director or producer saying it, we might be like, oh, damn.
Oh, maybe I should change that thing.
Yeah, this sucks. But if it's a random idiot to rob, what's the difference, you know?
Yeah, but I mean,
but I feel like that one random idiot is, like, he's being echoed, like, so much in to rob, so.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has their threshold for...
Yeah, it's easier for me to say.
True.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. We all have a different thing for that. And if he's to the point where he doesn't even want to look at FaceTime because he doesn't want to see his face, then something is innocuous.
I mean, sometimes the angle's on and you're like, oh.
When you open it up and it's on selfie.
Triple chin.
All right. Frankie, predictions from you.
I predict that Dash Dolls, and then I predict that Kim has a good surgery.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hope. Way to go out on a limb there.
I predict cool things. I'm like, I don't know what to say, Bobs.
I think Kim will be pregnant again by...
end of this year?
My birthday, which is June 5th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
2 months. That's bumping it a little bit.
Yeah.
I could have said July 4th to be safe. I think she'll be pregnant again by June 5th.
I was just thinking, actually, while we were talking and watching the show, I wonder if she is now.
No, and we just don't know.
Yeah, we just don't. Because that's not something you yell to the world right away, you know.
Especially not them.
Well, especially if she, if there's a probability the pregnancy might not go right, I would definitely wait till further notice. So who knows? Maybe she is.
Interesting. All right, ladies, I think that's it for us this week.
Okay.
I want to see more Dash Dolls. If we do a Dash Dolls AfterBuzz show, I'm in.
That's going to be, if that really takes off, I feel like it's going to be...
That's going to be so, like, much unnecessary drama that I just don't even know if I
can... Bad Girls Club. Bad Girls Club.
Or Vanderpump Rules, which is the most worthless show.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about the Kardashians. When Vanderpump Rules is more worthless than this?
Yeah.
Come on. That's a different
thing. Be nice.
All right. Hey, speaking of bad comments and trolls, let's give out our Twitter account. Sterling,
where can
horrible people send horrible things to you on Twitter?
You can send all positive vibes my way at Sterling Capes.
Same Z's. Positive XOXOCESCA.
And I want all the negative vibes. I want you to say your worst, like, personal ad hominem stuff at Bobby DeMuro. That's it this week on the Kardashians After Show. Nick will be back next week. You too will too, I hope.
Yes.
The Easter Bunny will not be back next week. She will be turned into regular Frankie. But that's
these
it, guys.
These might come out on Halloween. That's about it.
That's it this week. Thanks for tuning in here on AfterBuzz. We will see you next Sunday.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.